ABC is very near and dear to me. I learned a lot of things. One of the things that is going to be central to what we talk about this morning, I learned at Appalachian Bible College. But maybe the most important thing I learned, and I just want to share this on the onset. This is not really part of what I intended to say. But I really learned a love for the Word of God at Appalachian Bible College. It's very easy to sit where you're sitting, and I just feel my spirit that somebody needs to hear this morning. It's very easy to sit where you're sitting this morning and the Bible become another textbook. The Bible become just something else that we have to carry, something else that we have to consult, something else that we have to use. And I really got into that rut as a student at Appalachian Bible College. I'll never forget, there was a traveling missionary that was coming through that was a friend of our family, and he stopped to see me, and the guy just had, he literally had like a fourth grade education. He was a truck driver most of his life. God radically saved him, and he had a ministry with truck drivers up in the state of Alaska, and he just had an uncanny insight. And I remember sitting down with him in the lounge of McCarroll over here, and he said, "Tom, what are you struggling with?" And I told him that very thing. I'm struggling with really just reading the Bible and really just being able to get into it and it not be a textbook. And he told me something that to this day I do, and it really changed my life. His advice was to take a copy of the Word of God and use it for nothing else. Don't take it to class, don't take it to church, don't study out of it, don't do anything else with it except read it every day as God's love letter to you. And that was perhaps one of the greatest things that I learned, and even to this day, it is something that I hold very near and dear. We're going to ask for God's help. We're going to go to Psalm chapter 139. I love the theme this year, servants rejoicing in God's goodness. And my, hasn't God been good? We can look back, and our lives are a woven web of highlights and lowlights. But in every situation, I've learned, and I'm here to tell you, God has been good. And I love that theme. One of the greatest things that God ever did was scoop out of this earth some dirt, form it into this lifeless creature, and then breathe into man the breath of life, and humans became living souls. And I believe that's one of the greatest, goodest things, and I know that's terrible English, that God has ever done, and we rejoice in that. We're going to look at that this morning. Father, would you help us in the time that we have? Lord, we don't want to be poor stewards of the time that you've given us here today. So, Lord, I pray that you would take the words that you have penned for us in your word, those great and holy words, Lord, that you would illuminate them to us today, that we would be able to hear and understand and then heed what your Spirit says to your people today. God, I thank you for each person who's in this room. Lord, I thank you for the ministry of Appalachian Bible College. And Lord, I pray that you would keep them strong. We pray that you would keep them faithful. We pray for Dr. Anderson and his family, and for those that work alongside of him. And Father, we pray for the students that are here today. And Lord, we just thank you for them, each one of them, representing families and churches. And Lord, we just pray your special blessing upon them. Lord, as we look into your word, Lord, I recognize that you don't need me. But Lord, I need you, and I ask for your help as we unpack this passage of Scripture. Lord, I pray that you would speak it to our hearts, that Father, we would be able to understand, that we would be able to remove from our thoughts and in our minds anything that would distract, anything that would detract from your word. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to apply your word to our hearts as your Spirit speaks it to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I will be forever grateful for the ministry of Appalachian Bible College. I grew up in the backwoods, literally, of Pennsylvania. Got any Pennsylvanians here? How you doing? Yeah, They understand what I just said. The rest of you probably didn't. I grew up backwoods of Pennsylvania, came down here. How about Ohio people? Got any Ohio people? Ohio's God's country. Y'all know that? It is. I was driving through Ohio. There was this big sign that said, "For sale, see God." He didn't like it either, apparently. One day, no, I'm just kidding. I'm making enemies already. But I learned, as this kid from the backwoods of Pennsylvania, I learned some things at Appalachian Bible College that I didn't know previously. You're going to realize how dumb I really was when I came to Appalachian Bible College. For instance, I did not know you could pick up a phone, call a pizza place, order a pizza, and have it delivered to your house. I didn't know that. It was this epiphany whenever you could. By the way, y'all want to order a pizza? Let's order a pizza. Let's do this here. Call Papa John's. I'll put it on speakerphone so you can hear.
Papa John's, how can I help you?
I want to order a pizza, like a really big one.
Yeah,
there's like lots of people here, so I need a really big pizza. I want extra sauce.
All right, extra sauce.
Pepperoni.
Pepperoni.
Sausage.
Sausage.
Onion.
Onion.
And banana peppers.
And banana peppers.
All right. And you're going to bring it to Appalachian Bible College. You know where that is?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, Anderson Hall, first big building. You come up on campus, you can't miss it.
Anderson Hall.
Anderson Hall. Got it?
All right, sounds good.
All right. Get it here as quick as you can because this isn't a real long sermon.
All right. Well, we'll have it out as quick as possible.
All right. We're waiting. All right. Bye. Do you realize that God placed an order many, 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 many years ago for a person to live in 2025? That would bring him glory. He placed an order for an individual with special toppings, with special characteristics, with special desires and passions and abilities and gifts that would praise him. And students, if you get nothing else this morning, and I hope you get something else in this, but know this, God has designed you for his glory. David says this, "I will praise you because I am designed in an awesome way." In a marvelous and a wonderful design, God has chosen to design each one of us. Before the beginning of time, God knew exactly who he was going to create when he created you. He designed you. He ordered you in every single detail. Verse number 13 of Psalm 139 says this, "For thou hast possessed my reins." You have ordered every single detail about me. Some of you are cheese pizzas, right? You may be sitting here and go, "Man, there's just nothing special about me. I'm from the backwoods. I'm just kind of here. I'm plain. I'm simple." Maybe you're a cheese pizza, right? Some of you are meat lovers, right? Man, you're carnivores all the way. You're a meat lover pizza. There are people that absolutely love you, and then there's other people just look at you like, you're weird, right? Some of you are vegetarian pizzas, right? You're the total opposite of that carnivore pizza. And you will probably get married to each other because that's usually what happens to the opposites. They say opposites attract. Sometimes it's opposites attack, but it's still opposites that come together, right? Some of you are weird combinations. Some of you have pineapple on you, and that's just different. And God has taken every single difference. He has taken every single part of you, and I'm not talking about our sinful parts. I'm talking about our flesh, okay? I'm talking about the fact that every single one of us have different passions. We have different gifts. We have different abilities. We have different ways of even seeing and interacting with our world. And sometimes we look at one another and we see them as negative things. But the fact of the matter is, God ordained you from the very beginning of time to be you uniquely. I will praise you because I am in a uniquely made creation of God, who in every detail, in my very person, God designed me. I have, as was mentioned, I have five biological children, and then I have three children that we're raising. It's actually a nephew and two nieces. We call them the bigs, the middles, and the littles. We have kind of this wide range age, literally from like 27 years old to 5 years old. I remember my daughter, who's now 22, 23. Jayla is, and to this day, she is that perfect example of passive aggressive. You know what I mean? And I remember she was 4 years old. Sweet. Just one of those really, you know, when she was in the passive side of her. Just super sweet. Cute. And I decided when she was 4 years old, I had a friend that had a little trout pond, and I was going to take her fishing. So we went to the bait store, and we got us a little tub of night crawlers, and we got our fishing rod and all our stuff, and we went down to the pond, and we opened up the night crawlers, and I was getting the hook off of the rod and getting it all ready. And I'll never forget this. Jayla looks down at these worms, and she says, "You're going to die. The fish are going to eat you." I'm like, where did that come from? And I've since figured it out. She got that from her mother. But you know who put that there? God did. You are uniquely designed by an almighty God in your very person. You are different than all other of God's created beings. And you know why? To bring him praise and to bring him glory. Your person was designed by God. Your passions, those things that you like, are designed by God. There are certain things that get you going anymore. There's things that you live for. I love this time of year. I love the deer hunt. Some of you are going, "Man, I don't like this guy already. Poor Bambi." That's fine. I love the deer hunt. But you know why God made me a deer hunter? So that I could use that to the glory of God. For years we've done wild game banquets in our church because it works in the rural area that I pastor. And we've seen hundreds of people literally come to Christ as a result of some rednecks who take wild game and cook it and then use that as a median to bring people to Jesus. Those things that you like, those things that God has given you a passion for, you don't do that for your pleasure. You don't do that just because it brings you gratification. Find a way to take that thing and use it for the glory of God. I will praise you because you made me in this unique and wonderful, marvelous way, even giving me the things that I like for a purpose of serving our Creator. I am not at all a golfer, and some of you are very passionate about golf. And I can't help but think, as you're out there on the golf course, there's a caddy, there's somebody in the pro shop, there's somebody that needs to hear about Jesus, and God's given you that for a reason. Some of you are fishermen. And I think about some of Jesus' closest followers were fishermen. Some of you are passionate about music. Some of you have been given that talent. When I sing, the flags of heaven fly at half staff. It's that bad. But some of you, that's your gift. You know why God gave you musical abilities? To use them for his glory. Some of you are passionate about shopping. That is not of God. That comes from the other side. Run. God has given us our passions. He has given us our desires. He has given us those things to glorify and to praise Him. Your person, your passions. Before I was even born, verse number 16. Before I was even born, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every single day you had it written down. And even your path. And I know there's probably some in here whose path has been turbulent, to say the least. Some of you perhaps have gone through things that no human being should ever go through. You face pain, you face sickness, you face loss, you face things that just is almost unfathomable. But God intends those things within your path. Those things that you have gone through. I love Romans chapter 8, verse 28, don't you? I know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. But don't read verse 28 without recognizing verse number 29. And I know we kind of get sidetracked in the first couple words, right? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Whoa, let's not even talk about that, okay? Do you know what all that means? That means that that path, that all things that are working together for good, God knew all about that ahead of time. And that was all a part of the story that He was going to use in your life to bring glory to Himself. The very path that you are on does not diminish at all from your value. I brought with me a $20 bill. I was trying to get $100, but He wouldn't give it to me. He didn't give me a $20. This $20 bill is worth how much? $20. Can we all agree on that? Okay? Worth $20. Okay? Let's suppose I take this $20 and I mistreat it. Some of you have been through some of that mistreatment. Now how much is this $20 bill worth? That was a hint. What's it worth now? It's worth $20. What if I take this $20 and I abandon it? I walk away from it. I'm not going to walk that far away from you, and I'm watching. He's like, how quick can I get to the platform? And although I've walked away from it and it's behind me, how much is it worth? It's worth $20. Please know this. Your value does not change based upon what you go through in your life. Your value does not diminish. Because you have a Creator who designed you. He designed your path. He designed your passions. He designed your person. And I think maybe. Is pizza delivery here? I think I see him. Send him in. Yeah, looky here. Come on down. Papa John's is in the house. Looky there. Hey, pay the man, would you? No, I'm just kidding. I got it. Thank you, man. Look at that. Thank you. Woo! That's just the way I order it. Thank you. He goes, hey, you stick around. We're having fun up here, okay? We might pass pizza around later. Who knows? Hey, get that. Do you realize you were delivered at the exact right time? You were knit in your mother's womb, and you didn't get here until God was ready for you to get here. Some of you were very slow in coming. You call your mom this afternoon and thank her for the 28 hours of labor that she went through to get you here. But you were created for this time right here. I used to think that I wish I had been born in the late 1800s. That whole cowboy culture, you know, carrying a six gun. I know I'd have picked a fight with the wrong person and got killed. Okay, that's why God left me to be born in 1973. Yes, that was a year, a long time ago. Do you realize you were born at the exact time? You are a 19, 20, 23, 25, 55, 185, Brother Stiles, year-old person. Because God had you delivered at just the right time. He had you come on the scene at just the right time. And do you realize that's what God specializes in? God specializes in perfect timing. When the fullness of time was come, when the perfect time came, Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4, and you can look at it from whatever angle you want to look at it, whether it's historically or geographically or whatever you want to do, it was the absolute perfect time that God sent forth His Son to be born of a woman, to be born under the law, to redeem us who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And God's delivery was absolutely perfectly on time. And God has you right now at this moment in the perfect place for the perfect time. I believe God is raising up your generation to make a difference in the United States of America. I believe God is raising up your generation to make a difference across this land and across this world. And your time is now. Don't fall prey to the lie of the enemy that you are the future of the church. You are the present of the church. God needs you to be active. God needs you to use your individually designed personalities, your individually designed purposes, your individually designed passions to make a difference in the world that He has placed you in. And that begins with bringing Him praise. The key phrase in this entire passage is, I will praise you. I will praise you. I am fearfully, I am wonderfully, I'm amazingly made. Marvelous. Awesome. Blows my mind to think about are your works. And that my soul knows right well. Because you have been designed, you've been delivered for a destiny. You have been destined by God. His thoughts, His aims. Verse number 17, how precious. How precious are your goals. How precious are your purposes. How precious are your plans. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. What a destiny. What a destiny God has. They are so great. The psalmist doesn't even know what words to use. He's jumping from marvelous to wonderful to precious. And they're so great because He has a destiny and a future scoped out for you. Jeremiah 29:11, and it may be a favorite verse of many of you in here. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Bring you to a hope and to a future. God's ultimate purpose. God's ultimate purpose in the very creation of you as an individual is to bring Him glory. His very reason for creating you, the destiny that He has in store for you is to praise Him. And the best way that you can do that is to take the glorious, wonderful, beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ and share it with other people. And that brings God glory better than anything else in the world. How many of you like pizza, in all seriousness? I mean, that's college students' food, right? Now for me, and you'll notice how I ordered it a moment ago, pizza has to have extra sauce. It just absolutely has to have lots of sauce. I know some of you will fight later, but I'm telling you, if you don't have to change your shirt after you eat pizza, it wasn't good pizza. You get that sauce on there, you get cheese on there, you get those toppings on there, and you call Papa John's or your favorite pizzeria, and you order that pizza, and I don't know about you, but it's like waiting for the NFL draft for that pizza to be delivered. And imagine sitting there, and all of a sudden, the doorbell rings. I don't know about at your house, my doorbell sounds more like woof, 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 than it does ding-dong, because the dogs see the pizza delivery guy coming before the doorbell sees the pizza delivery. Yes, my doorbell sees people coming. That's so cool. I mean, literally, how many of you have a Ring doorbell? I like installed it 2 days ago. That's how far in the backwoods I'm from, but they're cool. So before the doorbell sees the pizza delivery guy coming, usually the dogs do, but anyhow, you go to the door, and there's the pizza delivery guy. And he's got your pizza right there on his grubby little fingers. And it's kind of hanging down, you know, and the cheese and the extra sauce and that little piece of sausage is kind of like making a mess on the mat. And your first thought is, where's the box, right? Like, why are you delivering this scrumptious goodness, this gooey, drippy, greasy, terrible for me, but so good pizza without a box? I mean, you have to have the pizza in a box, right? This pizza box is very important. I'm going to switch metaphors slightly. But you know this box? I asked the manager at Papa John's what this box is worth. This box is worth, he told me, about 11 cents. It's not really about the box. It's about what's inside the box, right? It's not that the box is unimportant. It just wouldn't be important without what's inside of it. Let me show you one more verse, and we're done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It says this, but we have this treasure. If you read the context is the glorious, wonderful, beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure, this gooey, luscious wonder. We have the love of God that became flesh, dwelt among us. The very glory of God that John says we beheld with our very eyes and our hands have handled of the word of life. This one that was God in the flesh, who was perfect, who shed his life's blood, who was buried in a borrowed tomb. I love that part, because why buy something if you only need it for 3 days? And he's put in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, he resurrects. And it is that treasure that's put inside of you. God calls you to deliver it to the world. He ordered you. He designed you. He's given you purpose. He's given you passions. He's given you your person. He's delivered you at just the right time. And he has destined you to bring glory to him. Won't you say with me, I will praise you. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. Father, would you help us? Would you help us to praise you? Would you help us to bring glory to your name? Lord, in the path that you have us on, Lord, we know that they're not always going to be a smooth path. Lord, it's always going to fit within your purpose and with your plan to bring glory to yourself and to make us more into the image of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for these students. Bless them this day, we pray. In Jesus' name.